If you call 312-981-7200 right now, you'll get in and you'll be one of the first calls for Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist who you hear regularly here on WGN. And on the Wintrust Business Lunch, this is that. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
Oh, good to be back. What a crazy market day. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's. I want to do a lot on the child tax credit, but let's start on the market and Bitcoin and what's going on here. What's happening today?
Well, Bitcoin really took a plunge. You remember, it's just in mid-April, the Bitcoin was worth $64,829, one Bitcoin. This morning, it traded at $30,000. So, you know, we're talking about a humongous plunge. It's bounced back now, according to Steve just heard. But the fact is, first of all, China said that it warned again. It's been saying right along, but it warned again all its financial institutions not to do anything with Bitcoin, essentially. And so that was interpreted as another crackdown. That came a few days ago. China believes in blockchain, of course. It just wants to control it and have its own currency and be able to, you know what everybody's doing with all of their money. And Bitcoin, of course, in China was a way of getting your money out from under the surveillance of the Chinese government. So that triggered that. Tech stocks have also sold off. A lot of them, like Tesla and even Microsoft, hold a lot of Bitcoin. And part of it has just been a very frothy market for tech stocks and for cryptocurrencies. So we're seeing a huge sell-off in all of them and a slight bounce back. And I don't speculate in that arena, so don't ask me where it's going next. I have no idea.
But are the likes of Musk over at Tesla, is it possible for him to sort of manipulate the price of a stock that he holds? Because if he says, I like Bitcoin, it goes up. And if I don't like Bitcoin, it goes down. And if he's, and you know, I guess we're all fools for following him, but he could be the beneficiary of that. Is there anything illegal or untoward about that sort of thing?
No. He's been at the edge of the line with the SEC on other things about his own stock, but not about Bitcoin. Some say the absolute peak was when, on Saturday Night Live, in a skit, in an attempt to be cute, and they said, and I watched it, I couldn't wait to see him live on Saturday night. So one of the punchlines was, so, you know, in other words, it's all just a big fraud. And he went, yeah, okay, so, but that was just a skit. The fact is, today he came out and said he's not selling any of his Bitcoin, but a few days after the Saturday Night Live thing, he said, we're not going to accept Bitcoin for cars anymore because it for a reason. Now, not about the valuation of it, but because to create Bitcoin takes a humongous amount of energy for the computing power.
That's
why the miners of this are in Scandinavia and other places where energy is cheap, and in China where energy is cheap. So he said he was worried about that. That's sent Bitcoin down a bit. And, these are very frothy speculative markets. So it's not Musk at all. He might be the symbol of it, but it's a lot more. It's a lot more market pressures in a speculative world.
Well, in that way, it would have seemed as though Elon Musk was working against his own interest. And yet, I think there's a lot of us who say, oh, you young people and your fancy digital currency, I told you there's no real value in that. And then you see how volatile it is. I wonder if that validates the people that are still not convinced this is a real thing. Or in fact, this is a real thing. And whatever's happening today, trust me, 25 years from now, there will be digital currency and it'll be Bitcoin. Where are you on that?
I absolutely believe that the blockchain technology,
that's the computer system,
that lies behind cryptocurrencies will be the basis for all kinds of transactions. You know, why do you get title insurance when you sell a house if it was all recorded on a blockchain that was immutable? So there is no doubt that's the way the world's going. I don't think Bitcoin will probably still be around, but I think you will have governments take over the cryptocurrency space. And always governments try to retain power by maintaining the control of the currency. So Bitcoin could be the dark underworld, or not Bitcoin, but some other future coin might be the dark underworld trying to escape government controls. But as we get more tech oriented, it'll be more and more difficult. You won't have cash to pass around, that's for sure.
Terry Savage is on a phone line, terrysavage.com, 312-981-7200. I sent Terry a text the other day when it dawned on me that, in fact, this tax credit for kids was already in place. Sure, you're getting the cash up front now, but is it really any different now what's happening? Everybody had their arms up in the air saying, this is terrible. The government's throwing money away that we don't have. When will we ever pay for it? And yet, this was the Trump administration doing this. This is not brand new. So I said, Terry, is this different? And her answer had exclamation points after it. So, Terry, answer that for us after this. Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, Terry, one more time, child tax credit, how is this different than it was a year ago?
Well, three ways. First of all, it's much larger, by 50%. So for 2021, which ordinarily you would have filed next April when you did your tax return, you would have filed and said, I have these three dependents, and they can tell from the birth dates, the ages. And then you would have gotten a refundable credit, a credit against taxes you owed plus partial refunding. This year, number one, the credit is larger. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Number two, it is totally refundable even if you didn't pay any taxes. And number three, instead of waiting to get it from the government when they get around to reviewing your 2021 tax return next April, May, or June, a year from now, they're going to start sending them out starting July 15th on a monthly basis. Can I give you just a couple of facts, and then I'll give you some of the details? The facts are that first of all, there's a brand new, when I say brand new, I just posted it an hour ago, article with all of this, the top column at terrysavage.com. So if you're driving, you don't have to take notes. Okay. The fact is that there are income restrictions, okay? Income under $75,000 on a single return, $150,000 on a joint return, $112,000 for those filing as head of household, very much similar to the stimulus. Above those income levels, the credit phases out. But just say you have a joint return, income over $150,000 to $400,000, you'll still get a $2,000 credit, but nothing on a joint return above $400,000. How much do you get? You get $3,600 a year. That works out to be $300 a month starting July 15th for a child who will be under age 6 at year end, and $3,000, $250 a month, for every dependent on your return that is under age 17.
Stop right there, Terry. But that'll start in July. Will it be for 12 months, or does that expire at the end of the year?
No. They're just going to pay it out over the next 12 months, because it was their way, as part of the American Recovery Act,
yep,
to get money in your hands. But this is so critical. I just make a very big point here. Remember the stimulus payments? First of all, you don't have to do anything to get this. They'll look at your tax returns. But remember the stimulus payments, some people who didn't file, like seniors with low-income Social Security, mm-hmm, people with SSDI, they got the money to you because they knew who you were, based on these other government benefits. The only way to get this child tax credit is to file a tax return. Now, even if you had no income last year and didn't, and no withholdings, no reason, you had low income, you're not required. What you need to do now, and there's no late penalty because it's after last Monday, the 17th, because you weren't required to file. But what you need to do now is two things. Number one, go to irs.gov/freefile. There's a link in that column at terrysavage.com. It's free if your income is under $72,000. You're the people that are going to be filing, lower income people.
Yep.
They will help you file a tax return so that you can get the credit. And number two, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, if you don't have a bank account because you didn't think you had enough and da-da-da-da-da, now you've got a few hundred dollars in your pocket left over from the stimulus, open a bank account. Have that $300. I mean, that's $300 per child. So if you got a bunch of little ones, you could be getting $1,200 a month. Have that money direct deposited in your bank account. Our own sponsor, Wintrust, has free checking accounts. Just go once to open the account. They'll give you a debit card. You'll put the money directly, the government will, directly into that account. You'll have a debit card. You can use it at any ATM, and you can get your cash so you don't have those check cashing fees. But you must file a tax return. Okay, end of lecture.
847 said, for Terry, does the kid's tax credit need to be repaid?
No. This is...
I got it.
There's a lot of money coming out of Washington.
What about this?
Coming out of taxpayers' pockets.
And this sounds circular, but will it be taxed? It doesn't count as income,
no,
right?
No. Is this free money to you? Doesn't count as income. Doesn't have to be repaid. If your income is below 75 and 150, you get this full credit. It is like... I know we could debate free money and so forth, but let me just say it this way. It is free money to you just for having little kids or kids under 17. They qualify for a little bit less. And, you know, maybe on the plus side, we have a demographic problem. Our country is aging. And so maybe it's a good thing that we're encouraging people.
What about this, Terry?
They're worth a lot.
Somebody asked yesterday, they said, but is it possible that people have already anticipating this, not knowing this was going to happen, though, have they been having their taxable income reduced each month? And is it possible that some people are going to owe money or get less as a result? Is there anything going on this?
I don't know what that means. Look,
I don't either.
Here's a fact. They're going to look at your 2020 tax return.
Yep.
And when they get started, if you hadn't filed for 2020, they may look at 2019, which could be a shame because a lot of people made more in 2019 pre-COVID than they did in 2020. But at any rate, they're really good at scanning returns. Remember, they're scanning them to pay back the taxes you paid on the first $10,200 of unemployment. Their computers are very, very powerful. They're going to look for everybody with a tax return, with a dependent, two categories, under age 6, they've got the birth dates at the end of 2021, or over age 6, but under age 18,
yeah,
at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're going to scan for those, then they're going to quick match it with what's your adjusted gross income, below 75 single, below 150 joint return, start sending out money. And they're good at that. Now they're getting really good. You know, the IRS, we used to think, was collecting taxes, and they were great at getting it in.
Yeah.
But they're getting great at sending it out.
Bob, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Maybe a different topic here. What can we do for you, Bob?
Good afternoon. Longtime listener. I appreciate your advice always, Terry and John. And I hear you. As a long-term investor, we don't try to time the markets. But if one happens to have some additional cash on the sidelines now, with the dip today and over the past few days, is this a time to to deploy some of that? If not, then what else do you do with cash? Thank you.
Well, Bob, cash, it's all part, I'm going to say all the conventional things, which is how much cash you have on the sidelines depends on your own personal financial situation, et cetera, and so forth, how much you've got set aside for retirement or kids' college or a daughter's marriage and so forth. Nothing wrong with having some cash. But listen, you're asking the wrong person. I was a founding member, the first woman, I was a girl then, trader on the floor of the CBOE. If I were a great trader, I wouldn't be sitting here on radio and writing columns because I would have figured out a way to beat the market. The savage truth is, I'm not a great trader, but in hindsight, and thank you very much for all my mentors who said to me, you don't have to beat the market, just be the market. Okay, we were down 500 points this morning. We're down a couple hundred now. The fact is we're close to 34,000. I remember when the Dow Jones Industrial Average first hit 1,000.
But we had a guy on who said this is going to be to 41. It is down a little bit. You don't have to beat the market, but you're right. Get in the market. So if you've got money,
and just
pick a sector or do one of those fancy ETFs. But, yeah, put money in. How is that not the answer?
I heard the gentleman give his advice, and I wrote it down. He thinks it's going to go to 40. Let's hope so.
Terry?
401K was his thing. And that's Dr. Bob Fralick, for those of you who didn't listen. His January forecast is on my website. We had a great show. And on June 15th, the Executives Club is going to have an update, a mid-year forecast with Dr. Bob and Diane Swank and our resident bear. So we're going to rehash that in the middle of June, I should say. I think it's about June 15th. I can't remember.
Right, we got to take a break, Terry. But aren't you saying, though, there's no harm in putting it in equities right now. Pick a fund you like or a category and go.
That's not what I'm saying, John.
Go ahead, then. What are you saying?
I'm saying I never try to time the market. What I know has worked over the long run is you make a plan. Diversified. Hop, S&P 500. I also have a small trading account. I'm afraid to look, which over the years, one of the good things I did is I bought Amazon when I first learned they sold more than books. You know, that must be 12, 14 years ago. So that's done very well. Some of my other crazy picks, I go, why did I buy that again? So I don't know that account, I haven't had the courage to say over the last 30 years, has my Terry's trading account outperformed my S&P 500 index fund account.
Terry Savage on Wednesdays taking more of your calls. Terry, you ready for more questions from our listeners?
Ready.
Should my 17-year-old file taxes if he made under $4,000 last year?
No, he doesn't have to file taxes because of his income was so low. And I'm trying to remember the rules, and I don't have them at hand, so ask your tax advisor about including the income from your dependent possibly on your tax return. I'm just not up to date on that. But that will not impact
right.
either a stimulus payment. Those are kind of history now. And that won't impact if he turns 18 before year end, you won't get a credit, but otherwise you'll get the child credit of $3,000.
Right, regardless of whether or not that child filed income taxes.
Exactly.
And John,
I'm trying to remember. I just that rule has changed over the years, and since my kids are so grown up, I'm not up to date on at what point and what income of your child has to be included. So ask TurboTax or your tax preparer.
Good enough. This is Laura. You're on WGN. Laura, how can we help you?
Hi, John and Terry.
Hey.
Quick question. I'm in my mid-60s. I have a very little amount of money in my Roth IRA. You know, with this volatile stock market, you got one step forward and nine steps back. So any tiny amount of money, whether it's $400, is a huge dent. And I'm still working. I'll probably work till I fall over. But is it better to put that money that I try to save a little every month in like a high-yield savings account, like a Marcus from Goldman Sachs? Would that make better sense?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think you said how old you are, and I won't ask you on the air.
Oh, she did. She did.
Okay. You're going to keep working. Your Roth IRA lets your money grow. There's no grow tax-free until you take it out. But let's start with this. There is no great high-yield money market type account these days that pays very much without risk. There it just isn't. That's a fact. And you're going to keep working for a number of years. You don't want to see it go down, but there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in that diversified S&P 500 portfolio. But no one says you have to invest aggressively in the stock market. In your Roth IRA, you've got a lot of choices depending on where you open it. You open it at Fidelity or Vanguard. There are things called
Fidelity income funds.
And that would be my choice for you.
Yeah. And by the way, isn't this also truth that you said before, Terry, that you say I'm in my mid-60s, so maybe I'd like to retire soon, but you're going to live at least 20 more years. You got to bank on that. So even though your horizon might be only 5 or 7 years to work,
exactly.
It's how long you're going to live that you need to imagine this money growing. So,
and stocks, let me make the second half of that. Stocks have always beat inflation. With a money market fund, you aren't keeping up with inflation now because the Fed's push rates down so low. On the other hand, let me just say this. There's a great value to being able to sleep at night. And if you're going to panic when the market's down, let's say the market's been around 34,000. Let's say the bears are right. James McDonald's, you know, it's going down to 28,000. If that happens, if you're going to panic and sell out when the headlines are screaming, stock market down 10 days in a row, if you're going to panic, then don't do that. But if you have the discipline to take a small amount, keep putting it in on a regular basis, once a month, automatic deduction, then stick it out and see what happens when you're almost 80. I think you'll be ahead of the game, I believe, in America, and you will be ahead of the game.
Yeah. Okay, Terry, well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and information.
Yep, you bet, Laura. Thanks for the call. Terry, lots of calls, lots of texts. Where's my IRS income tax return? Where's my stimulus? We answer this every week. Are you still begging people's patience?
Yeah, I am. I talked to the IRS. They keep bragging and sending out press releases about a zillion more checks went out this week. I'll get another one. So they're, still sending out, they're still working on tax refunds. They're still sending out those stimulus payments by one way or another. So I think, didn't we have an agreement that we were going to wait till June or maybe mid-June for me to go into full Terry Savage demanding mode and get someone from the IRS on and say, okay, what's the real Savage truth here? But not now. Be patient.
Some people, though, filed in February, and they say, where's
my... Oh, some people filed last July and are just getting their 2019 refunds. The IRS is very busy. Very busy. They send out stimulus checks. They're reviewing for your $10,200, you know, and give you back the money you paid on unemployment benefits. They're handling the new child credit. They're processing 2019 returns from paper returns from when they were shut down. They're dealing with all the 2020 returns that just got filed. So, but they're doing it. You know, they're not. You may not find it on Where's My Refund tool because that's hard for them. My experience is that it hasn't been updated very well. But you know they're being very efficient. That's the one thing about the IRS. They're extraordinarily efficient, and the wheels of time grind slowly, but they'll get around to your refund.
Joan, last question on the phone lines. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Joan?
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. I'd like to get back to the child tax credit and ask a question about the potential for people to be subject to underpayment penalties next April based on the funds they're receiving now. And if I could give an example of my daughter, she has two kids. She gets $4,000 in the past years for the child tax credit. So when we do her return in April, she owes $3,000 except for the fact that she will get the $4,000 child tax credit, so she gets $1,000 refund.
Got it. Okay, you're doing a complicated story. You're saying if she's getting the credit in advance, might she owe taxes next April? She might. It depends on the situation. I want to make one more quick point, John, before we go, though. So let me say this. She won't be penalized because she will have paid in as much as necessary to avoid the penalty along the way. That'll be a tax question for next April. That, I see your point.
That was the issue I was trying to bring up earlier,
I have one more quick point I didn't get a chance to make, and I know you're running up against a commercial, but let me say this. Many ex-spouses are going to get caught in the child credit thing because typically in a divorce, the wealthier spouse, even if you split custody 50-50, the lawyers say, well, and let's just say the wealthier spouse is the man for this example, we'll let Joe take the kids. Because, Susie, you're just getting alimony. It's a new divorce. Even alimony isn't taxable income. Joe can use the kids as a deduction on his return. Well, Joe's very wealthy. He's going to file a single return unless he marries someone else right away. And he's going to be making a couple $100,000 a year. He won't be able to get the child tax credit because he's well over $75,000 on a single return. And Susie doesn't get the child tax credit because she doesn't have to file a tax return because her income is non-taxable, alimony and child support. Maybe she has a little income, but she hasn't claimed the child as a dependent on her return. So she's missing out, if there's three kids, on maybe, you know, $9,000 or more in this child tax credit. I put in the article at terrysavage.com. There's an IRS form. If you can go back to Joe and say, hey, Joe, you can't even use this credit. Let's put little Billy and Susie or Billy and Nancy on my tax return. I'll be able to get the child tax credit. Let's do it and refile for 2020. Just make an amendment. Let me have the kids. Look at all the money, and I'll spend it all on the kids. Read at terrysavage.com. Just posted on child tax credit because a lot of ex-spouses, maybe more women, I think, who don't have a lot of income and therefore never got the kids to be declared as dependents on their return in their divorce, now could really use those kids to get a lot of money in the child tax credit.
That's really, really an interesting insight. Terry, thanks as always for your time and
Thank
your expertise.
You, John.
That's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com on the Wintrust Business Lunch and more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Workers at Chicago-based McDonald's are staging strikes across the country today, demanding higher wages. The workers who are part of the Fight for 15 campaign are calling their action Walkout Wednesday. The strikes are happening in 15 cities, including Chicago. The workers are demanding all McDonald's workers make at least $15 per hour. A demonstration was also planned outside the company's Chicago headquarters ahead of the annual shareholders meeting on Thursday. The association representing Allstate agents has filed a lawsuit against the company, accusing it of heavy-handed practices that are costing agents money. The National Association of Professional Allstate Agents breach of contract lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court in Chicago. The complaint alleges Allstate has interfered with potential sales of agents' book of business, costing them millions collectively. It also alleges the Northbrook-based insurer is permitting independent agents to sell Allstate policies in areas where there are already designated Allstate agents. The lawsuit says agents have also seen sharply reduced commissions because of other marketing practices. Allstate didn't comment in a report by Cranes. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Hey, let's begin today, Johnny, with the Farm to Your Belly feature. Today is National Devil's Food Cake Day, which made me wonder how it got that name. I'll share my exhaustive research for you in just a couple of minutes. First, let's talk about the dry spell, not the one that some parts of our area are experiencing, as Jim Fazell mentioned yesterday.
Some places, too much water. And there's some places where there's not enough.
And it's way worse out west. The rainy season didn't happen in California this year, and there's unlikely to be much moisture again until October. Some areas are so dry, farmers aren't even bothering to plant. That matters because California grows a third of the country's vegetables and two-thirds of its fruits and nuts. The expected shortages are likely to cause prices to go up. Turning our attention to your garden, Mr. Fizz has a few recommendations on what you ought to be doing.
Well, Steve, you know, it's an interesting time of year. There's a lot of stuff going on in the garden right now. The spring flowers are almost done, flowering shrubs and spring bulbs. You need to cut the blooms off as soon as they're done. If it's on the flowering bulbs, be sure that you protect the foliage because that's the factory that replenishes the bulbs for the next year. Flowering shrubs, as soon as the flowers fade, you want to trim those if they need trimming because the flower buds are set very quickly after the old buds fade. If you prune too late, no flowers next year.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fazell. Volatility seems to have settled in as the day-to-day norm at the Chicago Board of Trade, which makes me wonder if it's the norm. Is it still volatility? Soybeans down 39 cents. Corn is off 8 cents. Wheat is down 17 cents. The sell-off seems to be weather-driven. Now, about the origin of Devil's Food Cake. According to the Google experts, the recipe has been around since at least 1905. Some people think it's named the opposite of angel food cake. Some say it's called devil's food because it is full of sinful chocolate. Enjoy. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
The Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Yeah, we're coming out, but a lot of people are still in nursing homes, and they're going to be. One thing that you may have missed is that during the pandemic, there's no guarantee the people in nursing homes will have digital or virtual rights to connect with people on the outside. This is something near and dear to the AARP, of course. And there's two people I want to talk to about this and what the status of a piece of legislation is in Springfield. First, Lori Hendren joins us, AARP Associate State Director of Advocacy and Outreach. Lori, thanks for joining us on WGN. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having us on WGN. For all the listening audience, to be able to hear the measure, Senate Bill 2137 is actually on the House floor today under the leadership of Senator Mueller. It has 42 co-sponsors. And what this measure does, it ensures our most vulnerable residents in Illinois in nursing home have the access and the right to a visitation schedule virtually to connect with their loved ones.
I understand access, but it might be problematic for a variety of reasons, none of them good, but they do have the right, don't they? I mean, why are you concerned about the right of an individual to go online and connect with their family?
We want to make sure that under Illinois regs, an individual has the right to visitation, and that is stipulated as in-person visitation. But over the course of this year, due to protective measures, visitation has been limited, right? But we know it's been opened back up. Now, listening audience probably understands you, yourself, or others that have had challenges getting in, whether it is end-of-life, compassionate care, or essential caregiving visit, and AARP is advocating to make sure the Department of the Governor's Office knows that nursing homes need to abide by those regulations and that guidance. But with virtual visitation, it was a hodgepodge. So you would have folks downstate having nursing homes that were going above and beyond, making sure residents were able to use that granny pad or that iPad to Zoom or FaceTime, Some nursing homes just weren't doing it. We heard a just heartbreaking story of a woman whose loved one was in a facility, and she purchased she called it a granny pad, and tried. The staff just wouldn't do it. And it was only when her loved one was at the end of life at hospice did they finally say, enough is enough. We're connecting you to your loved one. And she was able to see her loved one and say goodbye.
I hadn't thought about this. Representative Anna Moeller's on a phone line, too. She's the lead sponsor of SB 2137, the Senate Bill 2137. So what will this do, Anna? Does it mandate? Does it fund? What happens?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for hosting this important discussion. The bill does require long-term care facilities to come up with a plan to mitigate social isolation and to ensure that residents are connected with their loved ones. It also specifies that there are funding sources that would be available to long-term care facilities to help purchase equipment and technologies to help ensure that they're connected. So it does both of those things.
Anna, I'm surprised that a nursing home would not make that available. That seems to have been so essential the last year.
I agree. And as Lori indicated, we've heard heartbreaking stories from a number of family members who were unable to connect with their loved ones because of the quarantine. We understand why facilities want to make sure that their residents are safe and they're limiting exposure from the outside. But when they're doing that, we saw that a lot of people were not able to connect at all with loved ones, and it was seen as either just being too time consuming for some facilities, or maybe they didn't have the technology. Under this law, once it's passed, it will require long-term care facilities to make these accommodations.
Boy, I'm no argument here. Ladies, I'm out of time. Lori, what do you want our listeners to do then? Reach out to Anna, reach out to the representative. What should we do?
We appreciate it. So if all of your listeners can use our AARP toll-free hotline, it's 1-844-226-1190. 1-844-226-1190. If you call that, we'll automatically connect you with your House member, urge your support, and urge them to sponsor the bill too, because it's important for our community, and it sends a clear message that for our Illinois 1.5 million unpaid caregivers and the millions of thousands of nursing home residents that we're here, we're advocating, and we're here for you.
That's the AARP, and that's Lori Hendren and Representative Anna Moeller. Ladies, I'll repeat this number again in a minute. Get ready to write it down, and thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.